Welcome to What the Bible Says, a daily broadcast from the East Abbotville Church of Christ. Your speaker is E.R. Hall, Jr.
Good morning, and welcome to you and our radio audience. We're thankful and appreciate so much you tuning in. We hope that you'll listen for the duration of the program, for it's our sole purpose to teach only those things that are found in God's holy and divine Word. If at any time you have a question or a comment, be it favorable or unfavorable, of things that we talk about and say on the program, or maybe you have a Bible question or a Bible subject and you'd like for us to spend time and study on the program, certainly we'd love to hear from you, and you can contact us by the address given by the announcer or contact me directly by email. My address is preacher@eastalbertville.org. Christmas was told to be the chief ruler of the synagogue in Corinth, and he was much like any other Jewish leader in the first century. He was bound to the law of Moses and to the traditions of the forefathers concerning the coming Messiah. But unlike some of them, although he was open to an honest evaluation of a statement of the prophets that foresaw Christ coming, his fellow Jews at Corinth reacted much like Jews in other ancient cities, where the Apostle Paul had preached in the synagogues. Paul preached that Jesus of Nazareth was that Messiah, and in many places they violently opposed the Apostle's conclusions. They raged and they railed against him with such resistance and severity that he stopped his weekly visits to the synagogues and stopped the reasoning that took place when he was there. He left them to the traditional conclusions and to the condemnation that they brought upon their own heads. His work in that city, however, continued, and we're told that he turned to the Gentiles. Notice what we read in Acts chapter 18, beginning with verse 1. After these things, Paul departed from Athens and went to Corinth, and he found a certain Jew named Aquila, born in Pontus, who had lately come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because Claudius had commanded all of the Jews to depart from Rome, and he came to them. So because he was of the same trade, he stayed with them and worked, for by occupation they were tent makers. And he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath and persuaded both Jew and Greek. When Silas and Timothy had come from Macedonia, Paul was compelled by the Spirit and testified to the Jews that Jesus is the Christ. But when they opposed him and blasphemed, he shook his garments and said to them, "Your blood be upon your heads, I am clean. From now on I will go to the Gentiles." So he departed from there and entered the house of a certain man named Justus, one who worshipped God, whose house was next door to the synagogue. Then Crispus, the ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord with all of his house, and many of the Corinthians, hearing, believed, and were baptized. See, what we have, though, is Paul's work among the Jews was not complete. He reasoned arguments from the scriptures about Jesus. They obviously lingered and worked in the heart of Crispus. This respected leader was unable to just forget so easily what he had heard again and again for the several Sabbaths that obviously Paul had went and taught. Crispus was clearly going upstream against the things that he had been practicing all of his life, and yet for the things that he was now hearing from the Apostle Paul. He was more like those of Berea that we read about in Acts 17, verse 11, when it says, that they were, the Bereans were no more noble, or they were more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica, and because they received the word with that, for they searched the scriptures daily to see whether the things that were being spoken were so. So it's easy to see that Crispus was more like the Bereans than he were like the Thessalonians. He was more willing to search the scriptures, consider the scriptures, than what the average Jew in the city of Corinth was willing to do. And you know, to understand what little bit we have given about Crispus, knowing who he was and what he had been doing, you know, we can only imagine the struggle and the tension that had to wreak havoc on the lifelong thinking of a man that's now opening his mind to the truth. You know, much that he had believed and had practiced from a baby had been riddled by the teaching of Paul, who was a fellow Jew, and yet Paul gave him clear meaning into what these prophets were teaching concerning Christ. And it was so much that the ruler had read and wondered about. But the ruler's biggest battle was ahead. What to do with these conclusions? That had to bother his conscience day and night. This honest and this good man knew that faith in Jesus would stir up the wrath of an unbelieving community. It would leave him out in the cold. Faithful Jews had no other associates or community than their own. Crispus obviously had beloved associates. His wife had dear friends. His children had close playmates. And the family had intimate association. But if he's going to acknowledge the things that Paul says, if he's going to come to the same conclusions that Paul's teaching drew for him, and he's going to respond to the gospel message, that's going to end all of these relationships. Yes, they would have new brothers and sisters, friends in Christ, but that's not going to alleviate for some time the horrors that this man and his family must face from being totally rejected in the only community that they've ever known. You know, when you consider other Hebrews, the things that they went to, all you got to do is go to Hebrews chapter 10. Let's go there and begin our reading with verse 32 and see what acknowledging Christ and obeying the gospel can mean in terms of anyone that wishes to serve God and do his will. Hebrews 10, verse 32, "But recall the former days, in which, after you were illuminated, you endured a great struggle with suffering, partly while you were made a spectacle, both by reproaches and tribulation, and partly while you became companions of those who were so treated. For you had compassion on me in my chains, and joyfully accepted the plundering of your goods, knowing that you had a better and enduring possession for you in heaven. Therefore do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward." But what Crispus heard was too powerful to resist. He learned that the Messiah had come, that Jesus of Nazareth was that Messiah, and that in him, in Christ, is redemption for sin and the hope of eternal fellowship with God. That news, it was too good, the evidence was too compelling, and the promise of eternal abiding place was too exciting. And so we can easily imagine that after considerable meditation, this prominent Jew called his family together, taught them what he had learned, and warned them of the difficult days ahead. No doubt the things that Crispus could have said would be similar to what Joshua commanded of the children of Israel back there in Joshua chapter 24. Remember, Joshua said, beginning at verse 14, "Now therefore fear the Lord, serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the river and in Egypt. Serve the Lord. And if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourself this day whom you will serve." So it obviously had to come to the point where Crispus and his household had to make that decision, either continue the way they were in the religion of the Jews, doing the things that the law of Moses commanded, that now that law has been nailed to the cross by our Lord, or make this drastic change, and what drastic change it will bring. Surely, it was a challenge to him and to his family. They obviously, with boldness, joined their family head, and they stepped out of that world of Judaism, and they entered the new nation of spiritually circumcised in Christ, a holy nation, an elect race of people for God's own possession, like what the Apostle Peter describes for us in 1 Peter chapter 1. Notice there, verse 9. He says, "Receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Of this salvation the prophets have inquired and searched carefully who prophesied of the grace that would come to you." And Luke, who writes the book of Acts, records for us that decisive moment in Acts 18 and verse 8. "And Crispus, the ruler of the synagogue, believed in the Lord with all his house. And many of the Corinthians, hearing and believed and were baptized." You see, the conflicts of this courageous man did not end that day. He faced other challenges in the day ahead when he joined himself to a body of believers who were troubled by a carnal spirit, the church at Corinth. There were many problems in the church at Corinth. There was faction, there was division. But obviously, Crispus rose above that party spirit. One of the first things that Paul deals with in the letter to the Corinthians is their division. And he starts it when he says in verse 10, "that I plead with you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. For it's been declared to me concerning you, my brethren, by those of Chloe's household, that there are contentions among you. Now I say this, that each one of you says, 'I am of Paul,' or 'I am of Apollos,' or 'I am of Cephas,' or 'I am of Christ.' Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you, or were you baptized in the name of Paul? I thank God that I baptized none of you except Crispus and Gaius, lest anyone should say, 'I have baptized in my own name.'" See, in the context of division, Paul's saying he's thankful that he did not baptize any more than Crispus and Gaius, or there'd be more running around in the church at Corinth saying, "I am of Paul." But that's not Crispus. We don't see Crispus doing that. But Paul holds him up is the fact that even though he did baptize him, obviously Crispus was one that is not joined in with the contentions and the divisions that occurring here at Corinth. Crispus is a man that's worthy of imitation. What God has revealed about him is important for us. It's important because his convictions and his courage and what it did for him, it will do for us. Let us have conviction. Let us have courage. Our time is up. Thank you for listening. We hope that you'll tune in tomorrow. And it's till then that we bid you a pleasant good day. And now we turn you to our announcer.
Thank you for listening to What the Bible Says, a daily broadcast from the East Albertville Church of Christ, which meets at 4777 U.S. Highway 431 in Albertville, Alabama. This broadcast airs locally on WBSA 1300 AM and Gospel 93.5 FM. Broadcast times are Monday through Saturday at 11:15 AM and Sunday at 8:30 AM. We invite you to worship with us anytime. We meet on Sundays at 9:30 AM for a Bible study, which is followed by a worship service at 10:30. We meet again for another worship service at 5 o'clock p.m. On Wednesdays, we meet for a Bible study at 7 o'clock p.m., which is followed by a short worship service. Please visit our website at eastabbottville.org, where you will be able to listen to all of our services live. You will also have access to our vast audio library of sermons, debates, and every episode of this program. You will also find many articles on various Bible topics. There is a link to submit any Bible question you may have, and while you are there, please subscribe to our bi-monthly email bulletin. Join us again tomorrow for What the Bible Says.